Hi, this is Betty, and I'm reading from the News Gazette on Friday, July 3rd. So let's start out by the front page of the News Gazette, and it says, Restore Illinois Phase 4, Day 8. And by the numbers, Illinois has 144,882 cases with 6,987 deaths. Champaign County has 901 cases with 12 deaths. Douglas County has 56 cases with 0 deaths. Ford has 34 cases with 1 death. Piatt has 20 cases with 0 deaths. And Vermilion has 67 cases with 2 deaths. Illinois impact. Nearly a quarter of the 114 active coronavirus cases in Champaign County are in Mahomet. A new map that displays active cases by zip code shows Mahomet 61853 with 27 cases, most in the county. 15 zip codes have active cases, 4 in double digits. Champaign 61821 with 18, Rantoul 61866 with 14, and Champaign 61822 with 13. See, a 6-year-old in Douglas County and a grade schooler in Vermilion County were among the newly confirmed reported cases on Thursday. Since Monday, Vermilion has added 17 cases. It's most of any 4-day stretch since the pandemic began. Two of the 4 residents who tested positive Thursday share a household with someone who tested positive earlier this week, County Health Administrator Doug Toole said. Other information locally on the coronavirus. Days after photos of crowded campus town bars made the rounds on social media, CU's mayors reiterated the need for all liquor license holders to comply with the state's Phase 4 safety guidelines, or else. In addition to the warning, an emergency order issued by Champaign Mayor Deb Finest states that, effective today, only those 21 and older can be on the premises of campus town bars after 9 p.m. Okay, all of Governor J.B. Pritzker's pandemic executive orders since April 8th are void because he exceeded his authority by using his emergency powers for more than 30 days. A Clay County judge ruled in response to a lawsuit brought by GOP State Representative Darren Bailey. However, the Illinois Department of Public Health instead has supreme authority to close businesses and restrict residents' activities in a public health crisis, Circuit Court Judge Michael McHaney added. And that's kind of the summary of what's happening in Illinois on the 8th day of Phase 4. This is another article on the front page. It says, Yard Art Tour to Feature Funky Blasts from Past. And this is by Anthony Zillis. In Urbana, as he walked through the farmer's market at Lincoln Square Mall 20 years ago, some rusty sculptures made out of old farm equipment caught Richard Moore's eye. He snapped up 8 sculptures crafted by then high school student Tony Bruno, now a local defense attorney. Over the next few years, he accumulated 20 such statues from different artists, and he fell in love with both their quirkiness and creepiness. They're extremely funky, so they're both fun and serious and a little bit spooky too, Moore said. So it's a nice aesthetic combination of humor and spookiness. On Saturday, Moore will move the sculptures from his backyard to the front of his house for the Urbana Amble Front Yard Garden and Art Tour, in which residents are invited to walk by or drive by 40 different yards displaying art today and Saturday. In Moore's views, the artwork is perfect for Independence Day. Each piece is self-contained, he said. Each piece gives a strong individual expression, even though their farm implements, they each seem to be telling a story. I think it definitely is very American, very in favor of individualism. It couldn't be more perfect for 4th of July. That he has a philosophical view on the sculptures is no surprise. Moore is a retired University of Illinois philosophy professor who focused on art philosophy toward the end of his career. Over the last few decades, Moore seems to have put much more thought into the artwork than Bruno, who told Moore he'd be coming by on Saturday. He was fascinated that this stuff survived, Moore said. This was from my high school shop class. They were like $15 or $20, and they're really substantial. They've been out in the elements for 20 years, and they look like they did when I got them. Also on the front page is Friends Describe Man Beaten to Death Wednesday as someone who would have given his last dollar away. And this is also by Anthony Zillis. On a normal evening, Janita Topple would hold on to money her close friend Todd Ledbetter received from Good Samaritans as they each lay in their typical spots on the sidewalk near Westside Park. Wednesday evening, though, Topple and Ledbetter had an argument, so Ledbetter tucked away the $200 as he settled into his bench along State Street, where he slept since he moved back to Champaign 2 years ago. If he would have given me the money, he'd still be alive, Topple said. I might be dead, but he'd be alive. That night, three people approached Ledbetter and started hitting him. A friend who was sleeping across the street, who asked not to be named, said he heard a crack as Ledbetter's head was slammed. That person ran to Topple, who was watching a movie on the friend's phone. He said, "Oh my God, Janetta, I think they killed him." She said, "He was dead, dude. We didn't even have a chance to try to save him. He was dead." After his two friends called 911, Ledbetter was rushed to the hospital where he was officially pronounced dead. Several friends who gathered Thursday at Westside Park theorized that the assailant had seen Ledbetter receive the money. If they would have asked nicely, his friends agreed, Ledbetter almost certainly would have given them at least some of it. That type of generosity was typical of the 56-year-old with shaggy hair and a long beard, who friends described as stubborn with a big heart. After arguments, he'd give friends $5 and tell them to go get a beer. He would have given his last dollar away, friend Daniel Day said, a homeless man giving his last dollar away. According to a 2016 story by Bloomington-based WGLT-FM, Ledbetter grew up in nearby Carlock, where he worked in an automobile repair shop. The story said he was divorced twice and lost custody of his children, after which he descended into alcoholism. He moved back and forth from Bloomington to Champaign for the last several decades, according to friends, and court records show he was sentenced to time in jail in the early 2000s for robbery. Over the last few years, he spent some cold winter nights at See You at Home shelter, said Steve Harper, the group's street outreach coordinator, but he turned down most of the help it offered. Still, Harper talked to him nearly every day, and Ledbetter always had something to say, whether it was about the Bible or current events or his life. I just pretty much always let him talk until it was time for me to reply with a solution or a resource, which most of the time he turned away from, but we still cared about him. A lot of people shun street guys, but more than anything, they just need to be treated like they're loved and have people who care about them, and not necessarily financially. Conversation is huge. Todd was a very caring man, Harper added. He always helped those around them, even though he had his struggles. We're all devastated here. His friends were also devastated and angry as they sat in a circle Thursday at the park in downtown when they agreed that Ledbetter's bench should serve as a memorial. As she sipped on a beer, Topple recalled the conversation she had with Ledbetter about the Bible, their childhoods, and the hopes for better lives. Before the untimely end of a life hard lived, Ledbetter's desires were simple. All the man wanted was a house, and these are his words, a new puppy dog. That's all he wanted. Okay, going on to the 4th of July and the responses. There's a fire engineer, Brian Murphy, lines up the ladder as he comes back down from running a test on it Monday at the Savoy Fire Department. Firefighters will take part in a drive-by parade from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, starting at Cary Busey Elementary. At newsgazette.com, Saturday's lineup. Check out their stories on a slimmed-down 4th of July lineup, a neighborhood sidewalk celebration in Champaign, and a Sydney drive-by parade. There will be no News Gazette delivered on Saturday. Okay, the title of this article on the front page is Going Forth Like Never Before, and this is by Bob Asmussen. Independence Day. Traditionally, 4th of July fireworks displays light up the skies in areas, communities, including the Champaign County Freedom Celebration. But this year, because of the coronavirus pandemic, it's going from boom to fizzle. A 4th of July like no other we have ever experienced, with no organized snap, crackle, or pop. That puts a frown on the face of Mark Jones. Since 1998, Jones has been in charge in one of the area's most popular fireworks show. Small Town Arthur, population 2,227, celebrates in a big way, routinely drawing 40 to 50,000 for its fireworks extravaganza at Jurgens Park. Concerns about COVID-19 forced village leaders to cancel this year's show. We're disappointed, of course, he said, but we also know every now and then you have to do things for the good of the other individuals. This is a pandemic. There's no question it's highly contagious, and it could be passed at some time like this. We didn't want to get anybody sick. There will be other fireworks shows in the future, Jones said. Let's hope we get a vaccine so we can have it back next year. The cancellation impacts more than just firework fans. Local civic organizations filled their coffers by selling concessions at the event. The Arthur Women's Club ran a stand with tasty fair food. Other vendors showed up in droves, creating a carnival-like atmosphere. The community will miss the economic boost. Most of the cash flowed in from outside of Arthur. All these years I've walked around down there, I don't see one person I know, Jones said. They are all from out of town, which is great. Past shows ran 24.5 minutes, featuring music simulcast by a Decatur radio station. Though there won't be a show for Jones to run, he will still see fireworks at home. Jones is planning a private celebration for family and friends at his Arthur Farm. There aren't many other options. I don't think anybody is having a show that I've heard of, Jones said. Champaign, in my opinion, had the best show. Across the border, on Tuesday, Shelton Discount Fireworks in Covington, Indiana was hopping. A steady stream of customers, few wearing masks or social distancing, pushed full red carts out the door. Inside, the store was packed with folks looking for bottle rockets, fountains, and Roman candles. You can buy items named Cosmic Chaos, Heart Attack, and Disturbing the Peace. The parking lot was full with license plates from several states. The role of the police. How do area police feel about firecrackers and bottle rockets? Fireworks, in large part, are illegal in the state of Illinois. Urbana Deputy Chief Rich Searle said, I can't speak to the intent behind the legislation, but I presume it is a safety issue. Normally, we would encourage people to go see public displays, but obviously because of COVID, these things are being canceled. Unfortunately, there are going to be less fireworks around that people can appropriately enjoy. That being said, we are not naive, and we understand some people are going to go off and purchase fireworks. In those cases, we would encourage them to use them safely. At the end of the day, that's really the only thing that matters. You won't go to jail for shooting off fireworks. If we were to take enforcement action, it would come in the form of a ticket, Searle said. Fireworks veteran Jack Scott runs a wholesale firework company in Bethany, an hour southwest of CU. The 72-year-old has been in the industry since the mid-1970s. He has never seen a year like this. We've been in this warehouse every day, all June, taking care of business. He isn't surprised by the rush on fireworks. We've all been cooped up for 3 months. The old American spirit of our freedoms may play into it. This is our Independence Day celebration. Those that love their fireworks also bleed red, white, and blue. Nationally, he said, consumer fireworks sales are up 500 to 600% over last year. Sales are up across the country, and people are going to light up the night on the 4th of July. The bulk of the fireworks Scott sells comes from China. Many of my suppliers are running out of products. Scott plans to watch the Macy's 4th of July show on his big screen TV. That is absolutely spectacular. Scott is a big fan of the Arthur Show. He calls it a phenomenon. They are the flagship in East Central Illinois. When people talk about a massive and beautiful fireworks display, it's synonymous with Arthur. When it comes to using fireworks, Ford preaches to his customer to handle with care. My hope, my prayer is that those that are going to be shooting fireworks are safe. The best show, be it backyard or Arthur or Macy's, is a safe show. Happening in Danville. Danville fireworks enthusiasts have a couple of options this weekend. On Friday, Turtle Run Golf Club has its annual show. On Saturday, the City of Danville and the Village of Tilton are hosting a fireworks show at Danville Stadium. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. asked the public to follow social distancing guidelines and maintain 6 feet between groups. The TBT band is scheduled to play outside before the show starts. Food trucks will be available at the event, which is free. Happening in Tuscola. Tuscola's long-standing fireworks show at Irvin Park is going on hiatus because of COVID-19. The city came up with a week-long celebration called Sparks in the Park. It starts Saturday with a virtual 5K. Participants have a week to complete their run on their own. It's more of a camaraderie thing, marketing coordinator Anna Nelson said. We're asking people to share their photos and get involved while also staying socially distanced. There is also a citywide scavenger hunt that continues through the weekend. On Tuesday, the Tuscola Public Library is conducting bingo online via Zoom. There is a downtown walking tour with booklets available for purchase at Fleasor's Candy Kitchen and the Douglas County Museum. Nelson said she wants the events to provide a morale boost, something special for the kids to look forward to. And in 2021, we're hoping next year we'll be back to normal. This week, we are continuing our celebration of a salute to the class of 2020. There are seniors here who are closing their high school careers with awards and scholarships. And if you know any of these young people, please congratulate them on their success. From Armstrong, Lovington, Atwood, Hammond, Caleb Branch received the Fred Bowl Scholarship. From Arcola, Grant Gabriella Hopkins, Arcola Healthcare Scholarship. Armstrong, Evan McCarty, Eddie Hillman Scholarship. From Bement, Dawson Swaim, the Mike Walsh Scholarship. From Bismarck Henney Rossville Alvin, Jillian Russell was one of 10 valedictorians. From Centennial High School, Jennifer Chen is an Illinois State Scholar. From Central High School, Ashanti Adams is one-to-one mentoring scholarship. From Cerro Gordo, Dory Bulthis, the Reed Murray Scholarship. From Danville, Nevia Smith, one of 12 valedictorians. Fisher High School, Caitlin Parks, outstanding chorus student. And from Georgetown Ridge Farm, Sydney Spires was one of 4 valedictorians. From Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, Keegan Kudemeyer won the Lions Club Scholarship. Heritage High School, Jada Davis, summa cum laude. Hoopston Area High School, Cameron Flint, the TRW Industry Scholarship. From Judah Christian, Jacob Jones is an Illinois State Scholar. From Leroy High School, Parker Doherty, National Choral Award. From Muhammad Seymour, Isabella Davenport, the Forshee Family Scholarship. From Milford, Isabel Cohn, one of 6 salutatorians. Monticello, Grace O'Brien, a VFW Patriots Award. Oakwood High School, Luke White, one of 7 valedictorians. From Paxton Buckley Loda, Emma Schuler, DAR Award. Rantoul High School, Madison Walton, the Robert Charles Scholarship. Salt Fork High School, William Anderson, one of 6 valedictorians. Schlarman High School, Dawson Dean, cum laude. St. Joseph Ogden, Kristen Costa, National Honor Society. From St. Thomas More, Noel Schott, English Department Award. From Tuscola, Kira Moyer, 4.0 GPA. From Uni High School, Ethan Ashbrook, the David Woolley Award. From Unity High School, Kylie Dupson, the Bob Amon Scholarship. Urbana High School, Megan Pulaski, number 2 GPA in class. From Villa Grove High School, Samantha Stevens, Villa Grove CEO Scholarship. Westville, Emily Eller, the Perona Pagoda Scholarship. If you know any of these young people, please congratulate them on the success and for future endeavors. Okay, we have here, reminder, no Saturday print edition. The News Gazette will not publish a print edition Saturday because of the July 4th holiday. Many of the features, TV Grid puzzles, comics from the Saturday edition will appear in the Friday, Sunday, or weekend extra edition. And here's the article from Top of the Morning by Bob Asmussen. The nice folks at CU Kiwanis were looking for a fundraising idea, one that wouldn't conflict with state rules on social distancing and crowd size. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, the organization had to cancel its annual raffle in conjunction with the University of Illinois men's basketball team banquet. It shelved its pancake breakfast in May, too. Kiwanis member Sarah Connolly, an avid runner and triathlete, proposed a 5K. So the CU Kiwanis Keep Kids First virtual fun run was born. I race a lot, Connolly said. All these races planned for the summer, 90% of them have been canceled because we can't have large gatherings. Registration opened Wednesday on the club's website, cukiwanis.org, and at its Facebook page. The cost is $30, and all participants get a specially designed face mask. After running, walking, biking, or rolling a 5K, participants are asked to submit photos. No times are being kept. Those that complete the 5K will be entered into drawings for different gift cards. Connolly is hoping for at least 250 entries. Because the event is virtual, it is open to participants across the globe. People don't necessarily need to be here in town to do it, said Connolly, a member of the club for 5 years. We're promoting it primarily by social media, which is something we haven't done before, said club member George Wilhite. So that's top of the morning on the Kiwanis 5K. Okay, in area history. Oh, in 1920, because the 4th of July was on Sunday, the big observances were to be held on July 5th at the county fairgrounds. Events include speeches, a military display, horse racing, vaudeville display, dancing and music, and a fireworks display at 9:45 p.m. In national history, on today, on July 3rd, 1863, the three-day Civil War Battle of Gettysburg ended in a major victory for the North as Confederate troops failed to breach Union positions during an assault known as Pickett's Charge. And in 1986, President Ronald Reagan presided over a gala ceremony in New York Harbor that saw the relighting of the renovated Statue of Liberty. On the crime report, this North Champaign shooting. Police probe wounding of 17-year-old, and this is just by the News Gazette. Champaign are investigating a shooting Wednesday evening in North Champaign that sent a 17-year-old to the hospital. According to the release, at 7:31 p.m., officers were called to the area of 4th Street and Bradley Avenue for a report of a shooting. Soon after, they were told a 17-year-old male had arrived at a local hospital with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound to his upper body. They then found a scene consistent with a shooting about a half mile away at the intersection of Eureka and Walnut Streets near Beardsley Park. The release said preliminary investigation shows the victim was driving a vehicle near Beardsley Park when he was shot at and hit by gunfire from the occupants of a small red SUV. The victim then drove to the area of 4th and Bradley, where the suspects fired more shots at him before fleeing. The investigation is ongoing and no arrests have yet been made. Police ask anyone with any information, especially residents or businesses in the area with surveillance footage, to contact them at 217-351-4545. Those wishing to remain anonymous should contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477. And this is the reading of the first half of the News Gazette on Friday, July 3rd. Going to take a short break and we'll return with the second half shortly.